我们来自不同的地方，我们说不同的语言。
But we have Jesus Christ makes all the difference in the world. He's our common bond that brings us together.
但是主耶稣基督连接了我们这些来自不同地方的人。
And I'm so blessed to be able to share with you today, and I'm excited about the message and about this time of year that we can celebrate our Savior's birth.
我觉得我是很蒙福的，能够在这里面跟你分享主耶稣降生的信息。
Jesus is arguably the most well-known figure ever to live, and the story of his birth is likely the best-known story ever told.
这可能有一点争议性，但是一般来讲，主耶稣可能是最被广为人知的一位人物，还有他出生的故事也是最广被传扬的。
In fact, if you've grown up in a Christian home or in a Christian nation like I have, then you've no doubt heard this story countless times, especially as we celebrate Christmas each year.
如果你和我一样是生长在一个基督信仰的家庭，或者是在一个以基督教信仰为主的国家里面，你可能已经听过无数次关于主耶稣基督降生的故事。
Because of the familiarity of this story, we Christians accept it as fact and often overlook the amazing details that portray how much our awesome God loves us.
因为我们是这样熟悉主耶稣出生的故事，我们就是接受它，这是一个事实。我们有时候可能会忽略了一些细节，那些细节能够展示神的奇异的爱。
Sure, many of us may have very special emotions and feelings that surface at Christmas. I know we do in the United States, but all too often they are tied to our own nostalgic experiences that go back as far as our memories and involve Santa Claus, presents, Christmas trees, twinkling lights, snow, and family gatherings.
我们可能对于庆祝圣诞节都有一些特别的感受，特别的情绪，但是这些情绪可能都跟我们自己的怀旧，我们过去的经验有关系，我们可能会特别感受到这些圣诞树啊、礼物啊、圣诞老公公啊，因为这些都跟我们过去的记忆很有关系。
A few years ago, a Christian group recorded a song that really struck me, and the Holy Spirit showed me in a new way the wondrous plan that God put into motion to save mankind from our self-imposed prison of sin.
多年以前有一个基督徒的团体，他们有一首歌，这首歌借着圣灵的感动，是神让我看见神奇妙的计划，他救赎世人的计划，借着这首歌让我能够有更多的认识。
The name of this singing group is For Him, and the song is entitled A Strange Way to Save the World.
这个基督徒乐团的名字叫做为主，For Him. 他们这首歌就是说一个奇特的救世之路。
Perhaps the story of Jesus' birth has become so routine for you that it no longer has an impact on your life.
也许你对基督出生的故事太熟悉了，听到他的时候没有太多特别的感受，特别大的影响在你身上。
Today, I hope with the help of the Holy Spirit and this song as a framework to breathe new life into this miraculous love story.
今天我希望借着圣灵的感动，借这首歌能够让我们重新思想这个主耶稣出生的故事。
I would like to play this song for you, and I would like for you to pay close attention to the words as they appear on the screen.
接下来我们就要放这首歌，我希望大家都能够特别注意这个歌词，歌词会在这个荧幕上显示出来。
I'm just a simple man.
这首歌的这歌词在中文节目单上面有印。
The four questions that the songwriter suggests that Joseph as an earthly father of Jesus may have asked are, why me? I'm just a simple man of trade. Why him with all the rulers in this world? Why here inside this stable filled with hay? And why her? She's just an ordinary girl.
我要在这首歌里面，耶稣在世上的父亲，约瑟提出了四个问题。这四个问题就是：为什么是我？我不过是一个普通的生意人。为什么是他？全世界有那么多的统治者，为什么是在这里呢？一个装满了干草的马槽。最后一个问题：为什么是他？不过是一个平凡的女子。
I'm going to shake up the order of these questions and we will look at them more chronologically as they happen. So the first question that we will examine that Joseph may have asked is, why her? She's just an ordinary girl.
今天我们就来看一看这四个问题，但是我会把这四个问题的次序在歌词里的次序打破，我会按照时间的顺序我们来讨论这四个问题。第一个问题就是说，为什么是她玛利亚？她不过是一个很平凡的女子。
Mary was probably 12 to 13 years old when the angel appeared to her and said, You are highly favored. The Lord is with you.
Well, 玛利亚当时可能只有12、3岁，当那个主的天使向她显现的时候，说她你是个蒙恩的女子，神与你同在。
He then went on to tell her not to be afraid and that she would conceive and give birth to a son and she would was told to name him Jesus and that he would be great and be called the Son of the Most High.
天使就告诉玛利亚叫她不要害怕说她会怀孕生子是神的儿子这个儿子要叫取名叫做耶稣他是至高者的儿子。
The angel then went on to add that he would be given the throne of his father David and that he would reign over Jacob's descendants forever and his kingdom would never end.
天使又告诉他说神他所怀孕的这个孩子会继承他先祖大卫的宝座会统治以色列人他的国度权柄没有穷尽。
Mary then asked the angel, How will this be since I am a virgin? And the angel answered, The Holy Spirit will come on you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the one to be born will be called the Son of God.
玛丽就问这个天使说这事怎么可能发生呢我还是一个童女那天使怎么能够怀孕生子呢那天使告诉她说是神的能力要复辟她她会因此而因圣灵感孕而怀孕。
What a strange way to save the world.
这是不是一个非常独特不寻常的方式来拯救世界呢
Even though Mary was very young, she was a willing servant, and so God trusted her.
虽然玛利亚当时还是一个非常年轻的女孩子，但是她是愿意顺服神，她是神的使女，所以神就使用她。
She was clearly a woman of rare strength and purity, and God knew that she would be a willing servant in one of the most important callings ever given to a human being.
显然玛利亚是一个非常不寻常的女子她具有不寻常的的力量跟纯洁所以神就向她发出这个独特的呼召
Even though the God of the universe was asking Mary to play a major part in his plan to redeem the human race, she still had to be aware that she would be disgraced as an unwed mother.
虽然这是在神的计划神要用玛利亚来怀孕带来救世主他也当然也知道他必须要面对这些世人的羞辱。
She must have wondered how Joseph would react.
他可能会想他的未婚夫约瑟会怎么样想呢
Would he divorce her? In this culture, engagement was as binding as marriage.
他想约瑟是不是会把他休掉因为在他们犹太人的文化他们当时已经订婚的话就跟结婚的约束是一样的
So would Joseph divorce her intensifying the public shame or worse yet would he have her stoned to death which was well within his rights to do as a husband who had a wife who had committed adulteryt
他不只是会怀疑约瑟是不是会把他休掉这是一个羞辱这是会带来公众的羞辱更甚的是他是不是会被石头打死呢因为在约瑟的地位他的处境如果他的妻子不贞的话他是有权利这样做的。
Even with all of these worldly pressures mounting in her mind, we see why God chose Mary.To carry the Son of God, as she responded to the angel and said, I am the Lord's servant. May your words to me be fulfilled.
虽然有这样大的压力各种受到外来的羞辱的这些挑战但是玛利亚还是愿意顺服主。她回答说，我是主的使女，愿照你所说的话来成就。
Principle one, God never fails us when we put our full trust in Him and obey.
所以我们可以得到第一个属灵的原则，就是说，当我们全心信靠并且顺服神的时候，神是绝对不会让我们失望的。
Are you willing to obey God no matter how it might look to the world around you?
你是不是愿意顺服神呢？不管外面其他的人，其这个世界的人是怎么样来看你。
Let's secondly look with Joseph as he asked,Why me?
我们再来看约瑟所问的第二个问题他问说为什么是我呢
Joseph was probably 14 to 15 years old.
约瑟当时可能只有14、15岁
Prophecy from the Old Testament tells us that the Messiah would come from the line of David.
在旧约的预言里面告诉我们说弥赛亚救世主会从大卫的支派出来。
Jeremiah 23:5 says, Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely, and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land.
在旧约耶利米书23:5说这样说，耶和华说，日子将到，我要给大卫兴起一个公义的苗裔，他必掌王权，行事有智慧，在地上施行公平和公义。
In Matthew 1:1-16, we see the genealogy of Jesus that starts with Abraham and extends to David and ultimately to Joseph, who is Jesus' adopted earthly father.
我们在马太福音1:1-16看到耶稣的家谱，从亚伯拉罕开始，然后到大卫王，再到约瑟。
Joseph was also described as a righteous man, and so it would have been altogether appropriate for him to break his engagement to Mary.Based on the fact that she was pregnant, and he knew the child was not his.
约瑟是被称为是一个义人，是不是他可以很适合他来把玛利亚休掉，因为他这个他怀孕，那个孩子不是他的。
Mary's apparent unfaithfulness carried a grave social stigma, and he had every right to feel disgraced when Mary revealed her condition.Can you imagine the public humiliation that he would have faced?
约瑟是会受到很大的羞辱，在社会上，周围的人会因为他的未婚妻不贞，如果当玛利亚向他说明她怀孕的情形的时候，他是会感觉到非常的羞辱。
But as we will see, Joseph was also very kind and merciful, and decided to break his engagement to Mary quickly and quietly, so he would not cause her further disgrace or shame.
在这里我们看到，然而约瑟是一个非常有恩慈、非常和善的人，他不想给玛利亚带来更多的困扰、羞辱，他打算暗暗地把她休了。
Then God sent an angel to Joseph to explain the whole virgin birth, and that Mary wasn't carrying another man's child. No, she was carrying the Son of God, the Messiah, the Savior of the world.
这个时候就在约瑟想要暗暗地把玛利亚休掉的时候神差遣天使向他显示，让他明白玛利亚所怀的孕并不是别人的孩子，乃是神的儿子，这是救世主弥赛亚。
What was Joseph to do?
他约瑟该怎么做呢？
Put yourself in Joseph's place. Even though he now knew the whole story, no one else would.
我们是不是可以站在约瑟的角度来想，即使他知道整个的来龙去脉，事实上没有人知道的，那他该怎么办呢？
You see, others would assume that Joseph himself had gotten Mary pregnant by staying with her, and his reputation would likely be tarnished for the rest of his life.
就外面一般不知情的人，他们可能会觉得说是约瑟让玛利亚怀孕了，他们好像婚前就越轨，这样子对约瑟是带来一个很大的羞辱，对他的名誉有损。
Here was a man who was learning that true righteousness is not something that we can achieve by our own actions, but only by putting our faith in God and by obeying Him, no matter what it looks like to the outside world.
约瑟是这样一个人，他学会到这一个真理，就是说我们的义 不是能够靠我们自己努力去做什么能达到的，但是要靠我们信心，我们要信靠神并且顺服神，这样才能够达到神的义。
Joseph was trading his righteousness for shame.
约瑟为了达到神的义，他愿意把他自己他交换他的在人面前的好名声，交换成为一种羞辱，因为他的妻子他的未婚妻怀孕了。
Isn't this exactly what Jesus came to do for us? Jesus traded his righteousness for the shame of our sin.
我们再想一想，是不是主耶稣也是做同样的事情呢？主耶稣他拿他自己的全然的义交换成为我们因为我们的来背负我们因为我们的罪而带来的羞辱。
Thank you, Jesus.
谢谢主耶稣。
We also see that Joseph had great faith because in the end, Joseph valued commitment to God above his own honor.
我们也看到约瑟是很有大有信心的人，他照着神所说的去做，那做了他的份，是为了要荣耀神。
He, like Mary, trusted God enough to obey him, even when obedience would appear to be very costly.
他是一直信靠神，虽然这个信靠的要付出很大的代价。
You see, Joseph got it.
我们看到约瑟是明白这个道理的。
He realized that it didn't really matter what man thought about him. It only mattered what God thought.
约瑟深深地知道别人怎么样看他、评论他并不重要，最重要的是神怎么样看他。
Have you ever wondered why God didn't just send the angel to Joseph at the same time that everything was revealed to Mary and just bypass all this confusion?
你有没有想过为什么会问这样的一个问题？为什么神不在天使向玛利亚显现说明他的计划的时候，同时也差天使向约瑟显现，让他能够明白这些？
Perhaps God was strengthening Joseph's faith and obedience first because he knew the long, difficult road ahead that Joseph and Mary would have to travel.
如果神这样做的话，就可以减少约瑟的很多不必要的困扰了。但是也许神就是要借着这样来加强约瑟对他的信心，因为他知道约瑟前面的道路有一些困难的工作要做，他必须要对神有信心。
First to Bethlehem, then to Egypt, and then to Nazareth.
因为约瑟将要带着玛利亚去，第一个是先要到伯利恒，然后以后又要去埃及，然后又要去加利利。
God knew in advance the dangers that they would encounter, and he needed a man that had full trust in him.
约瑟前面要走的路很多，所以神要加强他的信心。
A man that would not ask questions when God called, but would obey immediately and follow anywhere that he was led.
他是这样一个人，当神呼召他的时候，他没有提出很多质疑，没有对神提出质疑，他就是马上的顺服。
What a strange way to save the world.
这是不是一个很独特的方式来拯救世界呢？
Principle 2, God allows difficulties in our lives to prepare us for greater service in the future.
所以我们可以得到第二个原则，就是说神是允许我们生活当中遇到困难，好预备我们将来能够更多的侍奉他。
What kind of difficult situation are you facing today, and how might God be using it to prepare you to trust and obey him for his purposes?
你现在在生活中有没有遇到什么难题呢？你有没有想过神将如何用这些困难的情形来预备你，使你能够为神所用，来成就他的旨意？
The third question that Joseph asked in this song is why him with all the rulers in this world?
在这首歌里面约瑟问了第三个问题，就是说为什么是他耶稣呢？全世界有那么多的统治者呢？
Why didn't God just accomplish this difficult task through a rulerwho was already on earth?
为什么神不就用引进世上现有的这些统治者来成就他的工作呢？
Why not choose Caesar Augustus, who was already in power at this time?
为什么神不选择该撒雅古士都，他已经是最有权力的人了在当时。
After all, he was the ruler of the entire Roman Empire when Jesus was born, and Rome was the superpower of the world.In fact, Caesar Augustus ruled for 45 years and was a brilliant, formidable leader.
雅古士都王就是当时耶稣出生的时候罗马帝国的君王，他是非常有权力的。
He even created the Pax Romana, which was the Roman peace that stretched throughout the entire Roman Empire at that time.
在他统治的时候是所谓的罗马和平的时候。
He was such a remarkable man that he was called, believe it or not, and this was actually chiseled in stone, he was called the Savior of the world.
雅古士都王是非常有成就的一个君王，不管你相信也好，不相信也好，的确这个是当时刻在那个雕像上面说，他被称为说是世界的拯救者。
So why not Caesar Augustus?
为什么神不用雅古士都王呢？
We all know the answer to this question, don't we? It's because Jesus did not come to establish his kingdom on this earth, did he?
因为主耶稣来到这个世界上并不是要建立一个王国，他第一次来并不是要建立一个王国。
He came to be a bridge between us and God.
主耶稣第一次来是要成为我们人跟神之间的一个桥梁。
Ken Hughes said, the baby Mary carried was not a Caesar, a man who would become God, but a far greater wonder, the true God who would become man.
有一个人叫 Ken Hu, 他说主耶稣并不是说是说并不是神并不是说要把人变成神，而是要把主耶稣拆到世上来，是让神成为人。
You see, the truth about God is that he is holy, and therefore he can't stand sin.
我们要知道关于神的真理，神是圣洁的，神是不能够容忍任何罪恶。
He is also just, which means there must be a payment for this sin.
神是公义的，那也就是说，罪必须要付上罪的代价。
But thankfully, he is also merciful, and so he made a way for us to have a direct relationship with him.
但是可以感谢神的是，神也是慈爱，所以他准备了一条路，让我们能够跟他有关系。
The truth about sin is that all of us have fallen short of God's perfect standard, and so we are all sinners. Romans 3:23.
关于罪的真理是这样，罗马书第三章23节说，我们都是犯了罪，世人都犯了罪，亏欠了神的荣耀。
We also see in Romans 6:23 that the wages of sin is death, and since we are all sinners, we are separated from God, and we all deserve death.
罗马书第六章23节又说，罪的工价是死。我们都既然都是罪人，我们都是当死的，该死的。
The last truth about sin that we will look at today is found in Romans 9:22, and that states that without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin.
还有一点关于罪的真理是在希伯来书第九章22节说的，就是若不流血，罪就不得赦免。
So in the Old Testament, before Jesus came on the scene, God required a blood sacrifice as payment for sin.
在主耶稣来到世上之前，旧约时代，神是要求要有献祭来除罪。
This was accomplished by sacrificing a lamb without blemish. The animal served as a substitute and died in place of the sinner, but only temporarily, which is why these sacrifices needed.To be offered over and over again.
在旧约时代献祭的时候，我们献上的是没有瑕疵的羊羔，来代替这个罪人的该死的这个地位。但是这也是只是暂时的一个代替而已，所以这个献祭必须一直的持续下去，一而再，再而三的献祭。
The truth about Jesus is that he is God's son, and he came to the world in human form to make a permanent bridge between us.And God the Father.
关于主耶稣基督的真理是这样的，他是神的儿子，他来到世界上就是要成为我们跟神之间的一个桥梁，他是道成肉身。
How did he do this?
他怎么能够做这样的事呢？
By walking this world and by being tempted in every way in which we are, yet he did not sin.
主耶稣怎么样能够拯救我们呢？因为他就是在我们当中跟我们一样的生活，面对各样的试探诱惑，但是他没有犯罪，他是一个完全的羔羊。
The next thing that he did was to offer himself as the ultimate sacrificial lamb once and for all to serve as our substitute, paying for our sins and ultimately satisfying God's wrath.
主耶稣最后把自己献上，就像一个完美无瑕的献祭的羔羊，这样能够满足神对神的愤怒，能够拯救我们，救赎我们，脱离我们的罪。
How could he do this? Because he was without blemish.
主耶稣为什么能够救赎我们呢？他为什么他献上他自己是有效的呢？因为他是完全的，没有缺陷的，没有罪的。
What a strange way to save the world.
这是多么奇特的一个拯救世界的方法。
Principle 3, Jesus' sacrifice covers our sin so we can have an eternal relationship with God.
第三个原则我们所得到的就是主耶稣的献祭遮盖了我们的罪，所以我们能够跟神有永远的关系，永恒的关系。
Have you recognized that you have fallen short of God's perfect standard, and there is nothing that you can do to be good enough to earn salvation?
你是不是有察觉到你是远远不及神那完全的标准？而且我们永远也没办法达到神的标准。
Do you realize that we all deserve death?
你是不是知道我们其实都是当死的，是值得死的？
Have you accepted Jesus' ultimate sacrifice once and for all for your sins?So you can have uninterrupted fellowship with God in this life and for eternity?
主耶稣一次献上他自己，使我们罪能够得到赦免。我们有没有向主耶稣献上我们的感谢呢？
The final question that Joseph may have asked is, why here inside this stable filled with hay?
在这首歌里面第四个问题就是说，为什么是在这里，是在这个马槽，充满了一个干草的马槽里面？
This is where we will challenge the traditional sequence of events that we have all held so long, and I will attempt with the help of the Scripture and the illumination of the Holy Spirit to shake up your understanding of where Jesus' birth actually occurred and why this is so significant for us as believers today.
我们在回答这个问题的时候，这可能就会我们过去对主耶稣出生的故事的一些了解可能会受到挑战。我希望借着圣灵的感动，然后能够让我们调整我们的理解。
Our traditional story of the actual birth of Jesus goes like this. In Micah 5:2, Jesus' birth was prophesied to take place in Bethlehem.
在传统上我们的了解就是知道在弥迦书第五章第二节有预言到主耶稣出生。
Micah 5:2, but you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times.
弥迦书五章第二节，伯利恒以法他啊，你在犹大诸城中为小，将来必有一位从你那里出来，在以色列中为我做掌权的，他的根源从亘古，从太初就有。
Then we go to Luke chapter 2 and we read that Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world.
我们再看路加福音第二章里面有说到当时的凯撒雅古士都有旨意下来叫天下人民都报名上册。
And in order to do this, every man had to return to the town of his family's origin. So, Joseph, being from the line of David, had to return to the city of David, which was Bethlehem.
就是为了雅古士都的人口普查，那所有的人都必须要回到他们个人的家乡，众人各归各城，报名上册。那约瑟是大卫的后代，他就要回到大卫的城，就是伯利恒。
Well, Joseph had to pack up Mary, who was well along in her pregnancy, and make the long, difficult journey on foot to Bethlehem, which was about 90 miles.
约瑟和玛利亚就要打点行装上路回到伯利恒他那时候玛利亚已经快要生产他们就要步行要走90英里的路到伯利恒。
Tradition in the Bible teaches us that while they were in Bethlehem, the time for Mary to give birth came, and we see in Luke 2:7 that there was no room for them in the inn.So they had to find an alternative place of shelter for the Son of God to be born.
传统上我们都知道当他们约瑟和玛利亚到伯利恒的时候那个旅店没有都已经满了没有地方给他们住所以他们必须要另找一个代替的地方让玛利亚生产。
Tradition, not scripture, then goes on to imply that this miraculous birth occurred in an arbitrary stable with assorted barnyard animals.
照着传统的说法我们好像我们他们后来就是在马槽里马厩里面似乎这是一个随便找一个马厩那里面就是充满了很多其他的农场上的动物是一个不太干净的一个马厩。
I would like to submit to you that Jesus' birth in fact happened in a very specific place that would foreshadow in a very specific and beautiful way why he came to this world.
在这里我要向你们提出来一点，事实上主耶稣降生的地方是一个非常确定的地方，是神所安排的，因为神就要借着他出生在这样一个特定的地方来显明他来到世上特定的目的。
But before we dive into that, I would like to pose some questions that perhaps you've had but never gotten answered because you just accept the traditional nativity as fact, as I used to, and unfortunately, you've missed out on an integral part of this beautiful story that further illuminates the vastness of our Father's love for us.
在我进一步说明之前，我先要提出几个问题，让你们大家思想一下。也许你过去也曾经这样思索，让我们可以进一步的来看这个主耶稣的出生。
Number one, why did Jesus have to be born in Bethlehem?
第一个问题就是说，主耶稣为什么一定要在伯利恒出生呢？
Number two, why was Jesus wrapped in swaddling cloths and laid in the manger?
第二个问题就是说，耶稣，婴儿耶稣为什么要被布包裹着，包得好好的放在马槽里面呢？
Number three, why did the angels first proclaim the Savior's birth to the shepherds?
第三个问题是说，为什么天使们首先向牧羊人来报这个好消息呢？
And number four, how did the shepherds know exactly where to find the birthplace of Jesus?
第四个问题就是说，这些牧羊人怎么样能够知道到哪里去找到那个婴孩主耶稣呢？
I hope that as we answer these questions that you will see clearly that all of these answers point to one undeniable conclusion.
我希望在我们来寻找这些问题的答案的时候，你可以很清楚地看见所有的问题，这些答案都指向到一个很确定的一个结论。
So why Bethlehem?
为什么在伯利恒呢？
Besides the fact that it was prophesied in Micah, it's tempting to conclude that it was to honor David, but I contend that this is not the reason.
因为是弥迦书有这样的预言，我们可以我们就认为说主耶稣要生在伯利恒，但是我认为这不是一个主要的原因。
Many do not realize that Micah further prophesied that kingship would come to the daughter of Jerusalem at Migdal Eder.
你们可能也许没有注意到，事实上在弥迦书第四章里面有提出来说，这个王权要从耶路撒冷的女子们出来。
Micah 4:8 says, As for you, O watchtower of the flock, and in Hebrew, watchtower of the flock is translated Migdal Eder, O stronghold of the daughter of Zion, the former dominion will be restored to you. Kingship will come to the daughter of Jerusalem.
在弥迦书第四章第八节是这样说的，你这羊群的高台锡安城，原文是女子，锡安城的山哪，从前的权柄就是耶路撒冷民，原文是女子，从前耶路撒冷民的国权必归于你。
Migdal Eder was a watchtower located in the northern part of Bethlehem and was built to protect the temple flock.
在希伯来文里面，这个群羊的高台就是Migdal Eder， 它是翻译。事实上，这个地方是在耶路撒冷城北边，是要保护这些羊群的。
So what was the temple flock and what was their purpose？
这个高台是要保护这个圣殿的羊群，但是你知不知道什么是圣殿的羊群？这个目的是为什么呢？
After Solomon built the first temple in Jerusalem and temple worship and sacrifice was established, there was... I'm sorry.
自从所罗门王建造第一个圣殿以后，那以后就有献祭这些都是就设立下来。
There was now a need for perfect spotless lambs to serve as atonement for Israel's sin.
因为要献祭，所以他们就有这样的一个需求，需要有没有瑕疵的羊羔作为献祭，来救赎以色列民的罪。
These lambs were raised just down the road from Jerusalem in Bethlehem in the very fields most likely where King David as a boy watched over his sheep and composed psalms to honor God.
这些属于作为献祭的圣殿的羊群是在哪里牧养的呢？就是在从耶路撒冷城到伯利恒中间的伯利恒城中间的那一片野地呀，这块地方也可能就是大卫王在年幼的时候牧养羊群的地方。
In fact, the temple flocks may have also grazed on the same land that Boaz had redeemed for Naomi and passed on to his son Jesse, who was David's father.
事实上 这片牧养圣殿羊群的地方也就是波阿斯 的地 他后来把他 一代一代传到耶西就是大卫的父亲
So now that we know the purpose of the temple flock, let's take a closer look at the shepherds that protected them.
现在我们知道这个地方然后我们再来看一看这些牧羊人
These men were no ordinary shepherds.
他们并不是普通的牧羊人。
These men were highly trained for this royal task and were well educated in all qualifications that a lamb had to meet in order to qualify for sacrifice.
这些牧羊人是接受特殊的训练，他们是有资格来鉴别哪些羊是真正无瑕、完美无瑕可以成为献祭的羊的。
In fact, these shepherds were under the direction of the temple priest and had to meet very strict guidelines in keeping the birthing place of these lambs ceremonially clean to meet God's high standards.
事实上，这些牧羊人就遵守圣殿祭司们的指导。他们有一个特别的出生让这个小羊出生的地方。所以这些羊是洁净的，他们出生在洁净的地方，能够合乎作为献祭之用。
These royal shepherds kept their flocks outside 24 hours a day, every day of the year, and only brought the ewes into this highly controlled.And ceremonially clean shelter when they were about to deliver their lambs.
这些牧羊人与羊群们生活在野外，24小时那都与他们同在，一年到头每一天都是这样。只有在那个母羊要生小羊的时候，他们会把这个母羊带到这个特别生小羊的一个场所。
So where do you think this birthing place was located?
你认为这个特别让母羊待产 的地方是在哪里呢
？It was at Migdal Eder, the tower of the flock. Where else?、
这个让圣殿羊生小羊的地方就是在这个羊塔，而不是别的地方。
Now there was one more curious custom that these royal shepherds were trained in by the rabbis to ensure that these lambs.Remain spotless and therefore worthy of sacrifice after they were born.
这些牧羊人还遵守一个很特殊的一个习俗，就当小羊出生的时候，他们用布把这个刚生下来的小羊包裹起来，保护小羊，让他们不会受伤，所以他们才能够成为完美的羊，成为可以用来献祭。
It seems that as these lambs were born, they would be very typically excited and very weak. And so if they were left by themselves, they could easily be hurt and thus become damaged and blemished, no longer worthy for temple sacrifice.
我们知道这个小羊刚生出来的时候他们好像很兴奋来到这个世界上而且但是他们又很脆弱他们可能会乱动或是怎么样。所以他们很容易受伤让他们受到有残疾就不能够成为献祭的羊了。
So these highly trained shepherds would wrap these spotless lambs in, are you ready for this? Swaddling clothes and place them in a manger until they settled down.
所以这些受过专门训练的牧羊人就会把刚出生的小羊用布给包好把它们放在马槽里面一直等到这些小羊稳定下来进入比较稳定的阶段。
They were wrapped in swaddling clothes and placed in a manger.Now, where have we heard that before?
这些小羊是被用布包好着放在马槽里。我们在哪里听过类似的话呢
？Are you starting to get the picture?
我不知道你是不是能够把这个整个构图构出来。
Our next question is, why did the angels tell the royal shepherds first?
第二个问题是说，为什么天使要向牧羊人报信呢？首先向牧羊人报信。
I believe it's because these shepherds, with their strict training to be able to recognize an earthly, spotless, sacrificial lamb, would surely be able to recognize Jesus as the final, perfect, once and for all, sacrificial lamb.
我相信这些受过专门训练的牧羊人是能够鉴别完美的小羊作为献祭的，他们同样的也能够鉴别主耶稣就是一个完是神所差来的一个是神的羔羊，是完美的。
Who would be more perfect than to spread the good news of the birth of the Savior, Messiah, who would save his people from their sins, than the foremost experts on sacrificial lambs?
是谁最适合来向大家传报弥赛亚降生的好消息呢？这些牧羊人是能够鉴别完美的羊的，他们是最有资格的了。
Our last question is, how did these shepherds know where to find Jesus when the angel of the Lord said only that they would be that he would be found in the town of David?
最后一个问题就是说，这些牧羊人怎么知道到哪里去找这个小婴孩呢？因为天使只说你要到一个马槽里面去找。
Well, in Luke 2:12, as we read this morning, the angel goes on to say, "This will be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger."
我们今天早上所读的路加福音第二章十二节说的，天使是这样说，你们要看见一个婴孩包着布卧在马槽里，那就是记号了。
Where do you think the shepherds went?
你认为这些牧羊人会到哪里去找呢？
They knew just where to find Jesus because there was only one place where sacrificial lambs were birthed, wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger, and that was at the watchtower of the royal flocks at Migdal Eder.
他们知道只有一个地方去，那就是那所有献祭羊所出生的一个地方，就是在那个羊塔那个高台里面，他们在那里会找到主耶稣婴孩。
Besides, we've already discussed earlier that all the lambs that were sacrificed in the temple had to be born in the ceremonially clean location to meet God's perfect standard. Is there any more appropriate place for Jesus to have been born?
就像我先前所提到的，所有献祭的羊都必须是在这一个洁净的特殊的地方出生的，才能够献给神。难道还有比这更难道还有比这更合适的地方为主耶稣出生吗？
Please think with me now. Can you see the beautiful symbolism and the foreshadowing of Jesus's purpose in coming to this world in his birth?
我希望你们都明白我的意思，希望你们能够看见主耶稣出生的时候就已经事实上预表了他来到这个世界上的目的。
Can you see his death foretold in the place and manner of his miraculous birth?
我们是不是可以从主耶稣奇迹式的出生里面看见他的死已经是预先表示出来了。
Principle 4,Jesus' purpose was foreshadowed in his birth.
第四个原则就是说主耶稣的意思就是要来预表他的主耶稣来到世上的目的已经在他的出生中预表出来了。
John 1:29 says, The next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world.
在约翰福音第一章二十九节里面，施洗约翰说这样说的：次日，约翰看见耶稣来到他那里，就说：“看哪，神的羔羊，除去世人的罪孽。”
1 Peter 1:18-20 says, "For you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect."He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake.
在彼得前书第一章十八到二十节是这样说的：知道你们得赎，脱去你们祖宗所传流虚妄的行为，不是凭着能坏的金银等物，乃是凭着基督的宝血，如同无瑕疵、无玷污的羊羔之血。基督在创世以前是预先被神知道的，却在这末世才为你们显现。
Now, where do you think Jesus was born?
现在你们认为主耶稣是在哪里出生的呢？
Was it in some random, dirty stable behind an inn with cows, donkeys, sheep, and goats? Or was it in a birthing room that was sanctified, set aside specifically for sacrificial lambs that were destined to die as substitutes for the sin of God's people in Jerusalem?
你认为主耶稣是在哪里出生的呢？那主耶稣难道主耶稣是出生在一个随便的一个肮脏的马厩里面，充满了很多其他的山羊啊、驴子啊、其他的动牛啊这些动物，还是主耶稣出生在一个特别的一个圣洁的一个出生室，是为了所有献祭的羊羔出生的一个特别的出生室？
What a strange way to save the world.
这是多么奇特的一个方式来拯救世界。
What a beautiful, merciful, loving, and strange way to save the world.
这是神多么美妙，充满恩慈，独特的方式来拯救世界。